Right, I will call to order the meeting of the Retirement Committee here in Conference Room C2 on Tuesday, April 28th, here at noon. Can I do a roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Wygant?
Here.
Director Mesfoot?
I'm present, but I cannot vote today.
Thank you. Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Nguyen? Director Green? Director Jung?
Jung is here.
Director Tran, Director Sheldon, Director Meeks, Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Jason Dadakis.
Here.
Kevin O'Toole.
Here.
You do have a form of your committee.
All right. Now is the time for items received too late to be agendized. Are there any? Okay, great. Visitor participation. Now is the time for visitors to participate. I see some staff and anyone online want to give any comment? Okay. Moving on to the consent calendar, items 1 and 2.
Sure, can I abstain from item 1, the minutes? I wasn't present at the last.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I'm fine.
Okay. Anyone want to make a motion on 1 or 2?
Jung will move the item.
Okay, and a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, great. I'll call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Wygant?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay. Jason Dadakis?
Yes, with the abstention on item 1.
Noted. Kevin O'Toole?
Yes.
And Director Jung?
Aye.
The motion carries with 5 yes votes with Mr. Dadakis' noted abstention.
Okay, great. All right. Matters for consideration. Item number 3, 401A money purchase retirement plan investment lineup and 4.7B deferred compensation plan red flag fund review. Now, just a warning to those online and in the room, we have a significant agenda. This was warned upon a couple meetings ago, or at least our last meeting. So patience is appreciated, but we will be going through a lot of items today. So do you want to hit us off, Scott?
Yeah. Sutherland Group of Wells Fargo Advisors is here to take us through this matter. So Scott, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Afternoon, everybody. Yes, we have quite a task in front of us today. So this is why we were recruited to do all of this work, because they need us here to make sure the plan is as good as it can be. So I'll start with minutes from January's meeting, where a lot of these funds ended up on the red flag list. But let's start from, get our slideshow.
And life has sure has changed since January, too. So Perry will tell us some news.
Oh. Yeah, if you could please, so we will need an electronic document. Should have looked at that one before we started.
We're just going to upload a document for those online so that Scott has talking points to work with.
Yeah, it was the board's. Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to share, Scott?
You want Anita to share? From my team.
Let me see if I can get it going.
Better to do it?
Yeah, she can.
Benny, do you mind sharing, please? We'll let you drive today.
Okay. Sent a request.
She approved your request to share.
Okay, she did. Okay.
While you're doing that, I'll start with the first part of the minutes. Coming into the meeting, we did have on the 401A plan a red flag for the T. Rowe Price All Cap Opportunities. That's a large cap growth fund. That was red flagged in October of 2025. Since the last meeting, the manager of that fund has announced that he's going to go. Can we make that a little bit bigger, please, Anita? He's going to start a leave in June and then not return to T. Rowe Price as a fund manager. So that's another factor in terms of our decision process today. Justin White will no longer be the manager of that fund. And we'll see there's other issues in terms of performance and risk management the fund has. 457 plan, we had four red flags coming to that meeting. The T. Rowe Price Health Sciences in Midland, the Touchstone Midcap, large growth, AB large cap growth was also red flagged. And then we have T. Rowe Price in both plans. That's the old T. Rowe Price New America, which has served us well over the years, but certainly struggling of late. So we'll have to revise our position on that one. On page three, if you go through the market and economic review we covered in the last meeting, I'll probably skip through that today, given the time we need for fund review. And in terms of actual fund changes, we did not add anything to the 401A plan. We did, however, add two new funds to the 457B deferred compensation plan. The Carillon Scout Midcap is new. The Luma Sales Growth Fund, which is large cap growth, was added as well. Under other decisions, back to the money purchase 401A, Fidelity Global Commodity Stock was a new red flag, as was Victory Sycamore Small Company and Victory Sycamore Established Value. Those are deep value funds that have struggled in this environment. And then on to page four, we kept the red flag on T. Rowe Price, all cap opportunities I've already referenced. We added a new red flag to Parnassus Core Equity and to J.P. Morgan Equity Income. The manager of that fund retired in 2024. It's been a bit of a struggle since she did. Down to the 457, this is why there's so many pages in today's report. T. Rowe Price Health Sciences is still a red flag. Now the Franklin Small Cap Value is added to that. Touchstone left our plan. It was replaced by Carillon Scout. Those changes will happen in June. AB Large Cap Growth was replaced by Luma Sales. And then again, T. Rowe Price All Cap Opportunities is still a red flag. So this will be our third review of that particular fund since it was red flag. Questions on that? Last part of the minutes, all the other options, meeting or exceeding the benchmarks, the 401A plan coming in at an all-time high of $212 million held by 354 participants. Average account balance is now $600,000. Questions for me? Let's look at the capital market summary. I've been doing this for 34 years. The markets have always gotten a little faster, and I think they've never been faster than they are in 2026. So February 28th information here, that might as well be 2022 information. a lot has happened. You had a horrible March and a wonderful April. I will give it a quick pass through here, but the Dow, as far as the first 2 months of the year goes, was up slightly. The NASDAQ down about 2%. The S&P up slightly. You definitely saw a conversion from growth being the winner to value being the winner. So if you look at the Russell 1000 growth and value indexes, those were large stocks. You definitely saw bigger gains on the value side. Same thing with mid-cap, same thing with Russell 2000 represents small companies. So for many years, the Magnificent Seven stocks that they've come to be known, Apple, Microsoft, Alphabet, Tesla, et cetera, have led the market. And in the first quarter, they pulled the market down. They lost about 10% in aggregate. And being the biggest parts of the S&P, that's why the S&P lost a little under 5% in the first quarter. You're not seeing that on your page because these are February numbers. But if you're looking at your first quarter statement, you're probably not crazy about what you're seeing. If you look at your current balance, you probably like it a lot more. The MSCI EPA index, so that's international stocks, up about 10% as of the first part of the year. So since December of 24, international stock markets have been much better than the U.S. markets, but they had a rough month of March because most of Europe and Asia are more dependent on the Middle East for oil and gas supplies, which have been severely impacted. As you know, shipments out of the Strait of Hormuz are down 95%, with no sign of that changing anytime soon. We go to the bond market, about a 175 gain in the first 2 months. That was erased in March as interest rates went up. Why did interest rates go higher? Well, inflation's going higher, and we're forecasting higher for longer. So you're looking at inflation continue to increase. The latest forecast that I've seen would be around 3.6% inflation for the month of April, and perhaps that continue to accelerate into the end of the year. So that's going to be a definite factor. Oil and gas goes into a lot of things in our lives that now cost more. If you look at commodities, that's what's benefiting from the change. So you see an 11% gain in the commodity index. At one point in March, that was over 30%. So you've definitely seen a change in the markets, where what didn't work last year worked well this year, and then what did work well last year was struggling. All right, let's jump forward to Nate, just in the interest of time. I know it takes a few minutes to get through these slides, but let's go to the asset allocation for the 457 plan on page 23. The style boxes here are going to represent the percentage of the total dollar amount that are held in each one of these funds. So we've designated in the color red, the three red flags on this page as a reminder, so you can take note of the percentage and what they represent of the total plan. So in the upper right, Luma Sales is new. It's not officially in the plan yet, but it will be in about 6 weeks. T. Rowe Price all cap opportunities and offering in both plans is red flagged. And then we know that Franklin Small Cap Value was recently red flagged. T. Rowe Price Health Science is red flagged 2 meetings ago. All the other funds meeting or exceeding the benchmarks. So here in the 457 plan, you do have heavy concentration in large caps, so the value, the blend, and the growth are the biggest part of the equity exposure, along with precious metals, which has had an incredible run for most of 2025 and into the first month of 2026. Had a pretty difficult end of the month of January and into February, but it's still massively higher than it was a few years ago. But that's become a much bigger part of the plan. On to page 24, please. If you look at the stable value options, most of the money for your participants is huddled in the money market fund. That's because the interest rate is higher and the liquidity is easier, so you can get your money in and out of that easier. It is all treasury bills guaranteed by the U.S. Treasury. We did offer that stable value option, which at some point in the cycle will pay a higher interest rate. Right now, the money market is taking care of that, so no need to go elsewhere. The bond funds, which have had a good year since 2022,
don't think we can hear anything.
Yeah, it's like their speaker went off.
Yeah, I think something just...
Revenue sharing amount is going back to the participant that owns that fund and incremental based on the dollar amounts they hold. So the net expense ratio is the net cost they're paying. If you compare that to the category average expense ratio on the far right, you get an idea how competitive the funds are. So as you go through this list, we're in pretty good shape. If you look at page 26, there is one fund that does have a higher expense ratio, fund 33, the BlackRock Inflation Protected Bonds. So that might be one a little bit more attention to in the next meeting because of its expense ratio. So just under $50 million in the deferred comp plan, again, the voluntary savings plan, 298 participants, average account balance is roughly 166,000. Questions for me, anybody?
I'm trying to make this better and I just keep making it worse. My apologies. Okay, there.
All right.
Seem to make it any better.
Sorry, it's bigger. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Bravo. Thank you.
Okay.
Questions for me? So here you may pull the decision sheet aside if we have a lot of decisions to make on. Otherwise, I will dive into page 31 to look at the first item for review, which is in the healthcare category. As we've noted here in blue, just about 1% of that 457 plan and 39 participants holding money in the Health Sciences Fund from T. Rowe Price. It was red flagged 2 meetings ago, so this is our third review of this. And if we want to look at the top chart, you're looking at a 3-year time frame. The fund is actually pretty close to benchmark with less risk in terms of performance, not quite on the capital markets line. And if you look at the 5-year, it's a really good fund over the last 5 years in terms of its overall performance. So we want to look at recent performance because it's on the red flag list. We have to cover page 32. So here you see the reason for the red flag is recent performance in the last 6 months at the top, the last 12 months in the middle has been much more difficult. The good years for this fund were 2022 and 2024. Now it had a nice rate of return last year, but underperformed the benchmark. So if we get to the fall of this year and it hasn't improved, it certainly has to go, but this is our opportunity to decide, is this a fund that can stay in our plan? Or on page 33, do we like any of these options better as a choice for your participants? Let me set the scale there. On the upper right, you see the fund, our fund in blue, the four options in green. And then Anih has carefully listed here the expense ratios of each of the funds. And then if you're curious what revenue sharing might be refunded to that participant, it's under the second scale there. So T. Rowe Price charges 80, refunds 15, so they're really charging 65. On the top chart under the scale, we also tell you the tenure of the manager team. You're in good shape here in healthcare where all of these have long tenured managers. So our fund from T. Rowe Price is 4 stars, 5 stars is best. And then there's a medalist rating, gold is best, then silver, then bronze, just like the Olympics. Neutral would be 4th best and negative would be they don't think the manager team should be managing this account. So we have a 4-star in bronze fund currently. BlackRock is 5 in bronze. Fidelity is 4 in gold. Janus Henderson, 5 in bronze. And PGM Jennison Health Sciences, 5 in silver. So there are some good options here. Before I cover those options in any more detail, what is the mood of the committee in terms of keeping it red flag versus making a change?
There's a lot of options in healthcare. We only provide for one. So there's room to grow here or change. I would think we could look at some of these others and probably get a lot of the same benefits, but perhaps better returns.
Okay. That's definitely where we can go.
And but there's only what did you say?
1%.
1% of the.
That's still $500,000. So, yeah. Chunk of change.
But I think healthcare is a good, thing to look at, especially as boomers continue to retire, and healthcare is needed. I think there's a lot of room for growth in
for sure.
Sector, especially in the United States.
Yeah, I think it's a sector we definitely want to offer.
Yeah, I know we're usually pretty patient with these. We're 6 months in, right? Halfway through the red flag period.
Yeah.
And sometimes it depends on the alternatives that are available. Just, it's got that Janus fund seems to stand out on pretty much all the time scales you're presenting.
Yeah.
To us, it's being strong.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why they would get a bronze at Morningstar versus the others having silver?
Well, in this case, the fee is on the high side. So that's a strike against it. Now, they do refund 35 basis points of that fee. Morningstar doesn't look at refunds, but they're just looking at the overall expense ratio. They don't know what's being used for retirement plans. So the net cost would actually be lower to your participants than T-Row. But I agree with Jason that in all the metrics, Janus is the winner. Also has a very nice upside downside capture.
Right.
It's tough to be 108 of the up and 84 of the down. So thank you, Amit.
Yeah, I'm inclined to pull the trigger and make the change. I as well. Not sure if T. Rowe can make up the deficit it has for the next 6 months. And the Janus just seems very strong across all of our metrics.
I'm good with that. Anybody an objection with that?
The top five buildings are pretty similar for
Oh, each. Yeah, I highlighted the holdings. They're all the same stuff.
Right. Yeah,
you just put the five in the five.
But I actually
got to have some Ozempic in there.
I actually think, though, that Hero is lacking on the others. The others are including Johnson & Johnson a lot, Merck, AbbVie. Like, there's a bit more that those other funds are showing more consistency with, whereas the other four, other than Eli Lilly, the other four on T. Rowe Price are lacking. So I would agree with
that. Hero has something here I've never seen before, and their second largest holding, aggregate miscellaneous equity. Those are privately held companies. So T. Rowe is one of the big mutual fund companies that does buy private equity. So that's a big part of their fund, but it hasn't really delivered. All right. So we have a first big decision today, everybody?
Yeah, I'm good. We need to call for a vote, or we just kind of straw poll.
We're voting at the end.
We're at the end.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Great.
Perfect. That motion was to move to Rebel.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Looking forward, please, to page 41.
And if anyone in the audience, too, I guess, or guys want to say anything, so chime in. Very informal that way. I feel it's good to have your opinion for us.
So MFS International Growth, this was gray flagged. You might remember in the special meeting we had in February, we reviewed benchmarks. The benchmark was updated from the Morgan Stanley All Country World Index ex-USA to the Morgan Stanley EPA Growth Index to match the holdings of the plan. If you look at the bottom right manager style chart, you see it's much closer to that particular style box now. So the fund's looking pretty good, outperforming the new benchmark with less risk on both charts. Manager has been there for 14 years. It's 4 stars in silver, so healthy ratings there. It's 1 year numbers middle of the pack at 51 percentile, the 3 years at 40, the 5 year at 18, the 10 year at 50. So there are other options to consider here, but we have a lot of wood to chop today. So I felt like we were in pretty good shape. I thought this one could come off gray flag if everybody's in agreement.
And like you said, Bourne is going to be interesting here in the next few months anyway.
Yeah, once we look forward to the March numbers, it's going to be a different world. So.
Good with that.
Yeah,
I'm going to count that one, Christina, as a keep under number two.
And if something crazy pops up, you'll see it anyway and alert us.
We'll have a meeting. All right. Maybe not the same answer for another MFS fund, International Equity. So this is 3 stars in gold. So the star rating's more middle of the pack, the gold rating's top of the heap. Manager tenure, 17 years. Their 10-year numbers are good at 22nd percentile, but their 1 and 3 year numbers are in the bottom 10% of managers in this group. So we see you have a pretty healthy underperformance on the 3 year chart. This is definitely going to have to leave today's meeting with a red flag around it if it doesn't leave the meeting at all. And then you look at the 5 year number, which always concerns me that it's under the benchmark on the 5 year. So it's been a while since they really had an outperforming year. That was 2023, and even then it was a marginal outperformance, but pretty significant underperformance in the last year and 2 months, which is 25 and 26. The 6 and 12 months performance on page 52 isn't doing us any favors. That's a 20% delta on the 12-month number. The benchmark made 35. They made like 15 or 60. So they're in the bottom 5% of international managers in the last 14 months. So normally the committee's process is to give these funds a bit more time, and we can certainly take a red flag and see how it looks in July. But it may be time for a more severe decision to upgrade it to a better.
Yeah, I agree. We definitely need to at least red flag it. Scott, is there anything underlying with the manager or otherwise that would give you concern beyond its short-term performance?
It seems to be they just stock selection was poor during this period of time, but that's really poor. The fund was purchased by MFS some time ago, 7-8 years ago. I don't remember when. It's always kind of done its own thing, but most of the time it's been a pretty good outcome. But recently that has not been the case. The three stars in gold, Morningstar still likes their process, just hasn't worked.
The alternatives, are there any that really stand out to you, Scott?
I circled the MFS fund, which is ironic. It's another MFS fund.
Yeah.
MFS equal international. They have a little bit better fee. You got a higher rating. Got some more consistent performance. And these blended research funds from MFS have done a pretty good job. If you look at style, our current fund is the one that's a little bit more growth-oriented. You probably heard me say in the last few meetings, in the U.S., large growth has been better than large value, but an international large value is better than large growth. So MFS's focus on growth is hurting it. But if you look at the other MFS fund, it has a bias towards value just slightly. It's also a little bit more in terms of mid-caps. So you notice it's a little lower on that particular chart. So that should be noted as well. That's going to add to volatility, but it's put up some very good numbers.
Their top holdings are fairly similar to each other, although the fund in total assets is 29 million versus 3 million.
Why not merge this one with the other one that we said to keep? I mean, they're slightly different growth versus blend, but if they're so similar, what's the point of keeping two of them?
Well, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in that. So we do have some new categories to consider today, because when we looked at the benchmarking, people say, oh, well, why don't we have a global large value or foreign large value? For the end of the meeting, we have a chance to look at the new categories. So maybe we don't need a blend, maybe we need a value. So we have a growth on one side and a value on the other that are both foreign stocks. So his ideas could work either in terms of merging it as we just described or merging it into a new name. Should we snooze that towards the end or jump to that now?
That would be in the 457 or the 418?
This would be in the 457.
So instead of having a what we previously discussed,
we have foreign growth, we have foreign blend.
Right.
And you replace foreign blend with a foreign value with a foreign blend.
That makes sense. Overcomplicates. And then they, well, then why don't we have all three? Blend, you know, value and growth.
You could, but it would be
too much.
I think it's, you know, more choice.
It's almost like you're giving somebody one option and then kind of this mid option,
right,
but not the other
option. Right, exactly.
And I think people are interested in investing in foreign. The two options, pendulum swing is better than giving them one and then just something in the middle.
Yeah, so you want diversification. You want funds that don't own the same stuff. And you've already pointed out they own the same stuff.
Yeah.
Along those lines, our benchmark, if I'm not mistaken, is a blended benchmark.
It is. Right. So we'd be eliminating the category, Kevin, if we did my wild suggestion. The more conventional choice would be to pick this other MFS one.
Almost like you take growth value or you just take blend.
I agree with that. And a lot of plans, that would be the case. We just have one blend. Or we'd have either or. We wouldn't have. Certainly, I don't think all three makes any sense.
Right now, we're just offering a blend and value, right?
Well, blend and growth. So if you say blend and growth, you're going to have some overlap by nature because a blend fund has to have growth.
Do you think the employees would find value in having the blend or the value and growth?
What do you say, employees? Which one would you use, Rita?
I don't want to use any of them.
Just eliminate foreign stocks?
I mean, it's good to have a little bit of international in the portfolio, but doesn't need to be 10 different kinds of international.
Yeah.
Not when shared warships and airplanes are bombing.
That is relevant.
That could be temporary. Let's hope.
I mean, I was 17 when they were doing the same thing.
True.
A couple years ago. Well, is there anybody that wants to make a case for keeping this current fund? But it's 4%, too. It's a big chunk.
You said there was a pretty big swing that was left on the table.
Yeah. I don't think you can. But again, that's faster than we normally move.
And based on this period of time, you're just going through the end of February.
Yeah.
So what does everything look like right now if you were to take a current?
Well, we can actually look at the... the end of March, our current fund was down 3.8. American Funds International was up 1.6. DFA was up 2.6. First Eagle was up 3.8. And MFS Blend was up 2.01. So our fund's not getting better. It's getting worse.
And if you were to go to the other item that we don't have value, what page is that on to look at all of those?
That is going to be on page 219. Jason, what do we like?
In a minute, we have to red flag it, but especially given what you just quoted about the recent. I mean, even recently, under these market conditions, it continues to be poorly relative to the options. So, I'm open to swapping to the other MFS fund and having to.
Okay,
I like that approach. I think the idea of combining these categories that was kind of floated a minute ago, that might take some more discussion.
Okay.
And I think Jason's right as far as looking at the performance on the last 5 years. Our current fund is far underperforming the other MFS option on the table, and it would be prudent of us to switch. And then maybe table that other mid-value and blend conversation to a future meeting.
Yeah, this was a new category for the foreign large blend.
So I think we can make this change and then consider those possible additions later. I don't think that's okay.
Thank you, everybody.
And is it costly to the fund or to us, our portfolio, if we jump into something temporarily and then we're done with it in a few months because we decided to move to the new category?
It might be a touch confusing, but it's not a cost to us.
And this... The switch to MFS Blended Research, the alternative expense ratio is actually a little lower.
A little lower, and because it's just an MFS, it won't be as noticeable.
It's different.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, for all you know, they renamed it.
Performing better, but it has similar.
Only better holdings. Similar holdings, but better ratings.
Okay.
Okay, so Fund 3, if I'm correct, we're removing MFS International Equity, adding MFS Blended Research R6.
With a potential discussion point at some point in the future,
separating
out of blend and moving to about.
Yeah, so July we'll make a note of comparing the two categories and then still reserving the right by the end of this meeting to consider that same thing. MFS Blended Research R6.
You guys going to put that?
I should say Blended Research International R6. Okay, page 61, please. So Franklin Small Cap Value, red flagged in January of this year. 4 stars in silver. Manager been there 14 years. The last decade, they've been the top 25 percentile. 5 years, middle of the pack at 54th. Same with the 3-year at 52. The 1 year's at 47. But if you look at its 2026 performance, which granted is only 2 months, it has outperformed the benchmark by a fair bit. So it's gotten itself back above the benchmark on the 3- and 5-year chart. There are alternatives to consider, but in the interest of time, I would note that it's up 4.5% in the first quarter, which is saying a lot. Not a lot of funds were positive in the first quarter. I would be recommending that we just remove the flag on this one and move to the next category. Happy to cover in more detail if you disagree.
That's
why
it's meeting the criteria to stay in.
Fund number 4 is now going to be a key. One last red flag. All right, thank you, everybody. On to page 72. Here we have two choices in the 457 plan.
83. Or did I jump? All right.
That's good.
There we go.
Janice Henderson Enterprise is listed in orange because that's in both plans. So we get to deal with this twice today. Before I get to that one, T. Rowe Price Diversified Mid-Cap Growth is the blue circle. We're in great shape on the 3-year, a little questionable on the 5-year, but that is 2022 that will roll off. That fund is 4 stars in silver. Manager has been there more than 20 years. In the last 10, they're top 16% of the last 5, top 13% though. I'm going to say we're in good shape there. However, not so much with Janice Henderson Enterprise, a more risk-adverse fund, a little bit more of a blend fund that's still categorized as growth by Morningstar. But you notice that lower risk approach, keeping it left of the benchmark, but it's well below the capital markets line. When we looked at just January numbers and this category was down, Janice looked good as it didn't lose as much, but it's not looking great on the 3- and 5-year chart. And I'll change pages to page 73. It's also not looking good on the 6- and 12-month. Now, neither fund looks good on the 6- and 12-month chart, but T. Rowe Price had some serious outperformance cushion to work with. Janice did not. Janice is more risk-averse, so it has a lower standard deviation, which is actually a very low standard deviation of a little over 1, but yet that gap of performance the last 6 months is almost 15%. Janice is still highly rated, and it's been a fund that's been through these cycles before. We've used it on and off for 20 years. It's recovered in most cases. Still 4 stars in bronze, but I think it needs to leave today's meeting with the red flag. I don't know if anybody feels strong enough, certainly could, that it also needs to leave the plan.
There's a few good options here.
Yeah, the committee's thinking was T. Rowe is your high risk, Janice is your low risk, but Janice is just not cutting.
Yeah. I'm not immediately seeing a low risk alternative that would serve that role that we want to jump into today. So I'm.
Search can't uncover one if we've
right. Yeah. So maybe something will emerge, but I'm good just red flagging it today. I mean, that's where it's. Yeah, where it's at.
In standard practice.
We say that. Yeah, yes. You just reply.
Sounds good.
All right, so fund 5 would still be a key. Fund 6 would be a red flag. All right, thank you, everybody. Mid-value, so no flag here, but we wanted to point out the 2025 and 2026 have been sub-benchmark. Still 3 stars in gold, but its performance metrics, 3, 5, and 10-year, very middle of the pack. Its 1-year numbers at the bottom, 30%. It has outperformed on the 5-year, so please note that on the middle chart with less risk. That looks good, but the 3-year chart is underperformed by about 1%. That underperformance is 2025 and 2026. Although it's interesting, you'll see this with all the value funds today. They made more money in the first 2 months of this year than they made in 12 months of last year. Again, that's market cycle shift. So 6- and 12-month performance in these showing you here is not giving us any hope. 4% below on the 3-year, I'm sorry, on the 6-month, and 7% below on the 12-month. Now, probably just justifies a gray or red flag. If we look at page 85, though, you're going to fall in love with one of the options there. Not that that should color our decision making and our process, but there is a very good option to consider, which is the Invesco Value Opportunities. You stay with the red flag or gray flag as our preference between the two. 5 years still is good, 3 years slightly bad.
Could
Red
you
flag starts the 12-0 clock.
Yeah, could you just talk a little bit about this high flyer, this
Yeah.
Invesco? It seems like it's almost a different category, almost the way it's performing so much above our other funds that are being compared against.
Yeah, so the previous meeting, you might remember, Invesco was here to talk about their stable value fund. So we had them send us all the stuff on this fund. We read it up and down. We looked at the reports. Morningstar gives it 5 stars, but that's a performance rating. It only gives it bronze for the process. So they would suggest that it's a decent fund, but not a wow fund. But on every metric, performance-wise, so a fund that does really well in 2025, you'd expect to do pretty poorly in 2026, as we've described. That's not the case. It's by far the best performer in 2026. So that fund and another Invesco fund you'll see today is they've just had the right stock picks, and it's been consistent for a number of years now. So they're top 1 or 2 percentile in all the metrics, and they're by far getting beaten the best. Now, you might remember this way back in the memory banks. We looked at mid-blend a few years ago, and there was a fund called Madison Mid-Cap. Is head and shoulders above everybody. And we ended up not adding it for other reasons, but also one of the concerns was anybody who does that well at some point is going to regress to the mean. Well, I can tell you following that fund, it's regressed to the mean disastrously. So that could certainly happen to Invesco. MFS is a proven quantity, so I would be inclined to stick with that for now, but I can't find any flaws with the Invesco fund at the moment.
You can always add Invesco and keep MFS red flagged if that's what you like. There's only one in that category, so give people a choice. If you like the jackal.
Would that be problematic to add an additional in this category?
I would just say it's probably unusual for plans to have two big value. It is 122 people, so there's a lot of interest in this area.
How long has it been on our radar?
It's not. It's not.
Yeah, so I mean, process would kind of dictate, unless it was severely underperforming, which is not like the other one where it was severely underperforming.
I think
Can
we're
we?
better sticking with the process most of the
And then maybe add it or putting that continue to watch that
time.
Invesco
Yeah.
account to
Yeah.
see what they're doing.
Yeah, I say I
How is
agree.
it doing up to today, Invesco?
I didn't look through the April numbers, but if you look at the March numbers, it's up 6%. March numbers are only on the Morningstar, they're not on the Sofers. Like BlackRock lost 184 in the first quarter. Fidelity made 367. T. Rowe made 351. Hancock made 120. Invesco made 606. Our fund made 112. But we like gray or red.
I would go red, stick with our process. It's underperforming in that. Or to revisit it, and if it
And
doesn't
the
improve,
blue eye.
we can.
All right, so that's fund number seven, everybody. Everybody agree with the red flag there? All right, thank you. Page 95. 94, I'm sorry. So there's a fund listed in a red box telling you that this is, the committee voted to remove it, but the money's still in the fund at the moment. It will change on June 17th into Luma sales. T-Rowe Price all cap opportunities. We talked about this a bit. The fund does not benchmark itself to Russell 1000 growth, but instead the Russell 3000 was a benchmark. There's less than 4,000 publicly traded stocks these days, so that's almost the entire market. So on the three-year chart, you can see the T. Rowe Price Fund right underneath that Russell 3000 benchmark, but on the five-year chart, it's below it. But it's a more conservative fund because it's better diversified. If you notice in the style box, it's a little further to the left, so it's closer to the Russell 3000 than it is the Russell 1000 growth, and that means that it's going to be a little more risk-averse, which is why it's the left of the benchmark on the standard deviation. But the performance gap, you know, it's not too far from the standard, from the capital market line, but it's not great. And then the other factor is the manager is leaving. Now, maybe that's a good thing, but I think it's the committee's job to judge known quantities, and we don't know what the new manager will bring. So if it's your own money, you might speculate, but as fiduciaries, I think we probably need to go to a safer ground until we know how that fund does in the future.
Your red flag it in
January.
When does that manager leave?
June. I don't know the date. June 21st or something, maybe.
Yeah, June 21st, correct. Yeah.
This, of course, is always the hardest category to find alternatives to. Now, in the first quarter, it lost 9.5%. But all the managers in this category lost close to 10% because of their big holdings in the large cap tech stocks. Morningstar suspended its rating on the fund because the manager is changing. So that's called under review instead of a medalist rating, but it still gets 4 stars on the performance. But it's bottom 20% on the 1 year, bottom 30% on the 3 year, and it's 50th percentile on the 5 year. It's been a while since they beat the benchmark.
Well, look at the alternatives, Scott. The only one that clearly meets our metric, at least on the 3 year chart, is the Fidelity Blue Chip.
Yep.
Correct?
Correct.
And technically, nothing really meets it on the 5 year.
It's a mess.
Yeah. But we do have the extenuating circumstance of the manager.
We do. Now, the 401A plan uses an index fund and T. Rowe. A little concerned about the index fund because every investor, every retirement plan, every ETF is heavily invested in these stocks. And suddenly that 3 month trend turns into a 2 or 3 year trend. We're buying all these stocks at $3 and $4 trillion valuations and writing them down. Of course, they could go to $6 trillion valuations, but that index fund just concerns me because they don't have a way of getting out of those things. They have to own them because they're part of the benchmark. So in the first quarter, the index fund lost, can't read my writing, if that's 7.7 or 9.7. Yep, sort of ground zero for the sell-off. Or do we give it another 90 days and see what March and April look like on the numbers?
These account holdings are all NVIDIA, Apple, Alphabet, Amazon.
All those seven stocks. And that's the question. Do you own 9% of it or 14% of it, or what do you own?
6 to 1, half dozen to another. Just depends on how they're doing that particular.
Pretty much. Jason's pointing out, other than Fidelity Blue Chip, the 6 and 12 bond numbers aren't doing anybody any favors.
Yeah, I think Fidelity Blue Chip is really the only choice when they can change today. I mean, it refunds 35 basis points, so it drives the expense ratio down pretty.
It's cost effective. Yeah.
It's not quite an index fund, but it's close. And you, Scott, you seem to think having an active manager here is worth something.
I do. That's my gut talking, not the process. But you certainly are getting a cost-effective fund.
You may have already said this, Scott, but how does Morningstar view their blue chip?
They are 5 in bronze. The only 5-star fund on this list. JP Morgan and American funds are gold, so they're higher rated on the medalist rating. So is Loomis Sales. And thank you. I had forgotten to say that the ratings are nice. Just so we know, eyes wide open going in on page 98, the upside downside captures are a little daunting for Fidelity Blue Chip, though.
Yes,
almost the polar opposite of T Rowe.
That's the thing. Stylistically, it's a little more. Although it seems to have weathered the current condition.
It has.
A little better.
It has. So the downside capture has not been a problem in the first quarter.
I don't think we'll see too much of a change in all of these, to tell you the truth. But I think what you're suggesting with a new fund manager and being responsible to the employees, I would be comfortable with ability.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. One last question, Scott, was when will we see these again if we were to maintain red flag? Is that in the June meeting?
So it would be a July meeting.
July meeting.
Yeah. Which would probably be May data, though. I think we can defend as far as a process. This is what the courts look at. That Belly Blue Chip is an improvement. So I'm okay with that. Now, it may burn us, but the process... We're still fulfilling the process.
And as Jason pointed out, it's cheaper for you to.
Cheaper, it handled the first quarter better, it handled the last 3 and 5 years better, and the manager's been there for a while.
I think we're good on this. Yeah.
You're okay with that?
Okay, yep. Let's make the change.
Yeah, I'm good with
that. We've been there 16 years.
Yep, that's good. Just real quick, Scott, does this change apply just to the 457, or does it occur in both plans?
Well,
given that the
we're going to cover it when we get to that.
Okay.
One. So you can go the same route or you can go a very different route.
Okay. We can hold that. I'm assuming.
I don't think we can pull it from one and not pull it from the other, but you could have a different alternative. Okay. Maybe getting Fidelity Blue Chip twice.
Okay. But this is just
for the thank you for reminding me of that. I guess.
To remove it.
All right. 8107. So no issue with the Vanguard 500, just here for reference. No red flag on JP Morgan. We're just purely pointing out that it's underperformed slightly. Of course, a hard category to keep up with the benchmark. But 4 stars in silver from JP Morgan. The last decade, they beat 88% of their peers. Manager's been there 11 years. So that's their track record. But the last 1 year, 3 year has been a bit tougher to beat the benchmark. So they beat it in 23. They underperformed in 24, underperformed in 25, and they took a slight loss in 26 when the benchmark at the end of February is still up. Markets moved quickly. Let's see. JP Morgan, first quarter's loss was 767. Vanguard was 434, so that's not good. Investment Company of America was 481. DFA was 433. Boy, large stock was 190, so they're winning so far. MFS was a loss of 319. I don't think we're at the fund change stage, even though I worked up and thought that Philly large cap was the best of the alternatives, but we might at least gray flag this one, and then if you prefer red, I would fine with that.
Yeah, I would prefer a red, given the numbers you just rattled off from March. It's the worst performing of all of them, so it's going to look even worse if that was
right.
So I think the red flag it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then I would agree.
Revisit it.
It's not doing well.
All right, so Christina and Annie, just to keep current, fund number 8 is removed. Blue chip will replace it. Fund number 9 is a keep. Fund number 10 is a red flag. Fund number 11 is a keep. That is the full 57 items for review. But wait, there's more.
we get a break.
There's an intermission. We'll walk around the building. All right, so everybody okay? Anybody want a food break? Corn chips and guacamole? You need to go?
At night at some point. Keep going.
All right, 127, please. I'm going to make the case that this had come off red flag. Fidelity Global Commodity is 5 stars in silver. That's great. Manager is newer, a little over a year. It's 42nd percentile in the time the manager's been there. 3 years 25th, 5 year 24th, 10 year 17th. And you can see that they've had a great 2026. So this is even before the award started. The fund was up 25% this year. And that's better than the benchmark at 20%. We look at 6 and 12 month numbers, look solid. There are alternatives, make a case for a few of these. I'm going to jump ahead in the time and human welfare to say, let's keep this one and take it offline. Do you guys survive to learn?
Yeah,
we'll
go with that.
Yeah.
12, right? Keep.
Yeah, fund 12 is now a keep, no longer flag. Sorry for the quick move. Page 137, please. 4 stars in gold from American Funds New Perspective. This has had a lot of discussion about benchmarking. We still use the Morgan Stanley Capital Investments World Index, which is a blend benchmark. We have discussed perhaps re-benchmarking it, decided against it. We are showing you the secondary benchmarks from Morningstar. So it's beating both of those, but it's still slightly underperforming the World Index. Manager tenure is 25 years versus their peers in the last year, 21st percentile, 3 year 29, 5 year 25, 10 year is 20. That's very, very consistent. What's hurting this fund on every chart you're looking at is 2022. We're had a pretty difficult down year. Everybody was down, they were down more. That will roll off. We're still, a year from that rolling off, but that will roll off and make the 5 year better. It's no longer impacting the 3 year, which looks pretty good. So this is not a red flag, it's just a gray. In theory, it could stay gray. I don't think we're at the red flag stage. Let's look at 6 and 12 month numbers on 138. Pretty decent. So my note to myself was keep it a gray flag. And Kevin, that would mean we would cover it in the July meeting. We have 2 non-voters that say great.
Yeah, I think I'm fine.
All right, so fund 13 would technically be keep on this chart.
Global means that it's everything in the world, sir, including U.S. It's not.
And we have a whole emerging market, but mostly larger markets. So Europe, U.S., Canada, Japan, Australia. Okay, so page 147, please. These victory funds have been with us for a long time, everybody. That may have to change. So still 3 stars on silver on the fund. Manager tenure is 27 years for Victory Sycamore Small Company. Its 10-year number is still 29th percentile, but boy, it's been a rough run of late. So 2025, small value had a pretty decent year, up about 12%. Our fund was only up 2%. Now, there is a ray of hope in 2026 where it's up about 8%. The benchmark's up about 7%. You can just see that in the bottom left of 147. Their style is a little more mid-cap than the benchmark. So that's a little large. It's going to be an average capitalization that's bigger, which is why it's to the left of the benchmark in terms of its volatility. But there's a pretty big gap, a 6% gap the last 3 years and a 1% gap the last 5 years. Freshly red flagged. The investment policy statement says that funds that are red flagged do need to show signs of improvement. I can't offer you that on page 148. It's getting worse. So you got those 2 good months of February, but the last 4 months of 2025 were not good. Will this fund find its footing someday? Sure, but we don't really have that luxury as fiduciaries. Still have it in my IRA, happened to notice this morning, so I'm keeping it, but that's my money. So that's the difference.
The replacement is Goldman Sachs, or that looks
good. Or BFA. They're all good options. What do you think, Jason?
Sure, I thought you said it was getting worse, but that worse relative to the benchmark or worse relative to its peers? Because here today it's up a little on the benchmark. Right?
Yeah, but go back one chart, please, in A148. Look at it, please. 12 months.
This, okay. That's
good. Yeah, so of the 6 months, not so good. Of the 2 months, really good.
Okay.
And if you look at the alternatives on the 6 and 12, can you go to 150, please? There we go. You're good. So Fidelity and BFA also having a tougher 6 month. But Goldman's having a good 6 month. PIMCO is conservative, just having an okay 6 month and an okay 12 month. So PIMCO's attractive from a cost standpoint, too. It's also the best performer on the 3 and 5 year, but it is not the best performer of late.
PIMCO hasn't historically been an equities company. They were more of a bond company, but as of, when Bill Gross left, they switched to getting more into equities.
I make an important point. So they don't manage this fund. RAE does, which is Robert Arnault Enterprises. So PIMCO is just the distributor. So PIMCO decided, 2015 is when Bill Gross left. They wanted to be a much bigger distributor. So they're basically the platform that Robert Arnault's company is utilizing to distribute the funds. So he's a specialist. He's been around. He's highly respected. I believe he actually runs this fund. But his numbers have been very good over the years. So PIMCO does have some decent funds, but mainly from outside managers. Now, I hate to see Victory go, but I don't think we can justify it and stay.
Well, employees are 120. I can't see well.
120.
120.
Oh, okay. That's a lot.
A lot of folks. Yeah, it's a good hedge against large growth because they tend to work in different cycles, so they work well together.
You could make the argument that Goldman has had, not as good a three-year, but they're not too far off from PIMCO.
Agreed.
Even into the four, if I can see my logos correctly. Maybe not five, but I can't quite tell on that on 151.
151.
The bottom I'm more looking at, but
the most. Yeah, Goldman's winning the year to date, the 1 year, the 2 year, and they're second on the 3 year, and then it's a big mix after that. They seem to be about fourth on the 5 year.
But all bunched up.
Yeah. all pretty close.
I would lean towards that one if we're making a change.
Okay. How do we feel about the making a change part?
Yeah. What was the one you were recommending?
Golden.
I would agree with that. I like that.
If you look at all their holdings, it's all over the map. Yeah. So you're really just going off of their interests of what they feel fits.
Looking at the Goldman, their first holding is like an index future. What is it? The top holding?
Yeah.
127
futures contract on the Russell 2000.
So, okay. Oh, it's in.
Yeah, so the IWM is that ETF that trades the Russell 2000. They have a futures contract bet on that. So it's a way of kind of leveraging the upside.
What this little logo is next to that? That's like a sunburst on that.
On the holdings?
Does that just mean like it's popping? Is that what that's trying to say? And the negative sign mean not doing good? And the
share change column on the holdings. It's right next to the share amount.
There's a little like logo.
These little graphics.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
Share change since 2000.
I don't know the answer.
Maybe it's the proportion of the other assets that has changed over the last
So
the futures contract by nature can be a short term investment. So maybe that's what that poppy thing means. This is what's happening today.
The PIMCO,
I'm gonna have to study those, Eric. I have not studied those.
PIMCO's recent performance, if I'm reading this correctly, on the year to date end in 2025 and underperforming.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they've been quite strong prior to that.
Yeah, they're really leaning on 22, 23, 24, and 24 being the biggest outperformance.
Right.
I like the recommendation for Golden B setups.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been more consistent. I'm going to switch to Golden.
All right, so Victory's out. Yeah. Goldman Sachs is in Small Company Value Insights. Okay, login through here, page 158 for you. No issue with affiliate growth strategies, 5 stars in silver. They have a new manager from 2 years ago. She's doing a great job. Let's keep that fund. Janice Henderson Enterprise, which ended up getting red flagged in 457. It's also an option for red flag. I think in interest of consistency, we should...
Red flag in one plane, it should be in both.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it looks pretty necessary.
All right, page 169. Victory is back.
Oh, just on the list, that's a red flag on 15 and keep on 15.
Yep. So 115 is a keep, 116 is a red flag. Red flag. Page 169, Victory, Sycamore Established Values, the same management team, 4 stars in gold. So Morningstar still likes this fund a great deal. Manager's been there 28 years, but its 1 year number is bottom 7, its 3 year number is bottom 11 percentile, 5 years in the bottom half, 10 years still top 20%. 5 year looks good on that chart. 3 year is the problem. It's 23, 24, it's 25. It's had a great start to this year. So there's a smaller gap in performance here versus the small cap value that you might argue that Victory could withstand another meeting or two. So page 170, the 6 and 12 month, not helping it on the 12 month for sure. But it is trending.
Do you have numbers for this fund through April, by chance? It is improving, I was curious.
If through April or through March?
Whatever you have.
Plus 468 through March. BlackRock is minus 184. Fidelity is plus 367. Your old friend Invesco Value Opportunities is plus six. JP or John Hancock is plus one, and T. Rowe is plus 3.5.
That same fund.
Yes, sir.
Extreme. What it's doing. Back it comes. 5 years. Look at that.
Back it comes. The boomerangs.
Fully exceeding every single.
I think it's done enough. It's improved since we red flagged it. I don't think it's improved enough to take it off the red flag.
Agreed.
So I would just keep it. Red
flag. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Anybody disagree?
All right. Everyone's going to go about it.
You want this fund and the best fund. Page 180. So as I mentioned before, we do have an index fund here, so no issue with that one. The T row is funded question. Here we say the date is June 21st. So fortunately, we have a list of what we did last time, which is replace it.
I mean, a quick look at the same charts we're essentially looking at before.
It's identical. I mean, if you wanted to go different, you could kind of make a case for JP Morgan, but you almost be adding it and red flagging it.
Yeah. I'm fine with repeating the same decision we made in the 457 and replacing it with the Fidelity Blue Chip.
I'm good with it.
Same.
We already had a good discussion on
it. Yep.
There is some relief of having them in both plans and discussing it only one.
Especially something like that, blue chips, something people enjoy investing in. There's a lot of, you know, Dow's dog of the Dow where you get, you know, return from something.
Yeah. Not funds. But blue chips are well known fund. A lot of people.
Even that returns, you know, things like that.
Yes.
Same help.
For sure. All right. So that's fund 19 is a keep. That doesn't change. Fund 20. So we have a red flag from the January meeting on Parnassus. No issues with Vanguard or Hartford from the previous meeting. Parnassus is underperforming on the 3 and 5 year chart. The client I met with in New York and 2 weeks ago that also owns this fund. So I spent some time on the phone with one of the Parnassus, not the manager, but one of the people that works for the manager. And I was not encouraged to keep the fund based on what they described was their strategy. So looking at just the metrics here, that would confirm that it's not looking good on the 3 and 5 year. On page 193, it's not looking good on the 6 or 12 month.
Scott, what sorts of things would that conversation you had raise?
They were like, we're really heavy in healthcare. I'm like, healthcare is the worst performing category in the first quarter. That was what concerned me. And then they said, well, we got out of software. That's good. But you still had this software and this software stock that got crushed in the first quarter. That's what concerned me. So now in the first quarter, we know tech lost money. But as S&P categories go, healthcare, financials, tech, all bad. They were big in two of those three. That concerned me. And it seemed like they were getting bigger in them. Morningstar is 3 and bronze. Vanguard's 4 and gold. Hartford's 3 and bronze. Hartford borderline. I feel like it's close enough to the capital markets line that we can let that one fly. But Parnassus might need to find a new home.
Is the Vanguard sitting right on the index?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
They're indistinguishable.
And we only have 44 employees in Parnassus versus 166 and 144 in the other two.
Good point. So the S&P 500 lost 4.3% in the first quarter. Parnassus lost 6.1%. Hartford lost 4.2%, so a tiny bit better. American Funds Investment Company lost 4.8%. DFA lost 4.3%. Fidelity Large Cap Stock was the winner, down 1.9%. MFS down 3.2%. T. Rowe down 4.4%. Ranking wise, the highest ranked one is American Funds, 5 and silver. Vanguard at 4 and gold, DFA at 4 and gold, Fidelity is only 4 in neutral, so that's a strike against the MFS 4 in bronze, but T-Row is 5 in bronze.
I'm looking at the morning for Fidelity. It looks like, is it 5 in neutral?
Which one are you looking at?
The Fidelity's large guy.
Might be right. It's 5. You're right, 5 in neutral. Yeah.
I mean, kind of like that one early medium, across all the relevant timescales, 5-year, 3-year, 12-month, 6-month, and even year-to-date, the Fidelity seems to be the consistent best performer. Upside, downside looks good.
I read that the Morningstar analysis of the manager, they like him a great deal. He manages 2 other strategies at Fidelity, so he's a star.
I mean, just on the upside, downside, you rarely get a stock that ranks highest on the upside and lowest on the downside.
This is unheard of, especially in large blend. It's the hardest category
I'm struggling with why not to do that.
I think you have to. And it's different enough from the other two that it's kind of fun to see the three together. So.
Yeah.
Those 44 employees are going to be happy with this.
Fees are down too.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, there's a big refund.
35 basis point refund.
It'll be actually a little cheaper than the plan afterwards.
Yeah, I would be happy with that.
I make that change.
I would agree with that.
So Fund 20 Parnassus leaves, Fidelity Large Cap comes in, Fund 21 stays, Keith, Fund 22, we're keeping that one as well.
Then we can kind of play off this new one off those when it comes to it and see.
It's a good point.
So encourage people to go more that.
All right, last one in the items for attention for the money purchase. It's an evening making plan we're reviewing today. Page 205, please. Putnam, great fun, not under any issues here. 5 stars in bronze, consistently beating the benchmark. That's a fantastic fund. So even look at the alternative, it's the best fund on here. JP Morgan's manager did retire a year and a half ago, so we made note of that. Still gold rating for the process and the fund. 3 stars, however, it has underperformed on the 3-year. The 5-year is probably just fine. Year to date, this category is up because money moved from growth to value this year. Things like industrials did well to start the year. So Putnam's certainly the bigger winner. JP Morgan is more risk adverse. Well, 6 and 12 months shows a little softness from JP Morgan, but not terrible. So this is flagged only 1 meeting ago. I think we could just keep it red flagged, or we could look more seriously at the alternatives. I'm happy to read off how they all did in the first quarter if that is useful to the committee. Morgan did beat Putnam in the first quarter. Three stars in gold, but pretty solid.
I'm okay giving it over quarter. Giving it a flag.
Yes, if I heard you correctly, this one actually outperformed Putnam in the first quarter.
In the first quarter, because it's more risk adverse. Putnam has a little bit of big cap tech in there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that maintain the red flag on that one. Foundation, is that right?
Yes.
Fidelity was kind of the better looking.
Fidelity was my favorite alternative. We've probably added that to 3 plans in the last 6 months. So.
I agree. That did look good.
You know, keep a watch on that.
Well,
red flag 23,
keep it 24.
Continue. Yes.
Thank you.
All right, so the top of the next page of your decision sheet takes us to the potential new categories. Maybe too tired to proceed. You can cover but we knew what we did want to consider, which again can be punted into the future. On page 219, Does the plan, either plan, need a born large value option?
I like the idea of having growth and value of the options instead of growth and blend, but I'm certainly willing to give that some time to kind of pull it over.
You can do more direct comparison in the next meeting if you want to.
Especially since I feel we have hit the exhaustion point.
We do actually have 6 fund changes. The best option I liked here was the JP Morgan, by the way.
That's all it done.
This is proposed for both plans. Consider these.
I think it could be either. It may not be both, but it could be either.
We currently operate growth and a blend in both of those, and so those would be adding a third foreign option.
Or considering removing the blend, because that's what we tackled today, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then switching over to value. Okay. But again, I think that's probably a discussion we should have at a later date.
Then you might want to look at both categories and both plans at the same time.
Yeah.
I think that's
just kind of put it as an agenda item to say, do we want one? Do we want both? Do we want all? Right. That kind of gives us some more finite discussion instead of this.
I agree. I think that's a good table for today to revisit it points past.
Yeah, I think that works. Plus, we're going to see a lot of what's happening in the world here in the next 6 months, I guess.
Yeah. So 25 to no, 26, no action taken. All right. Unless there was any issues on the items for consent, that concludes my presentation.
Okay, well done. Anyone have any other questions on this? Anyone online? If there are, people still online? Okay.
Ready? Okay. One, we're going to map from Janice Henderson. Two, keep. Three, we're going to map to MFS blended. Did I get that one right?
You did.
Okay, thank you. 4, keep. 5, keep. 6 and 7, red flag. 8, we're going to map to Fidelity Blue Chip. 9, keep. 10, red flag. 11, keep.
Yes.
Okay.
Anit, correct us if we're wrong.
Yes, please.
Yeah. That's true.
14, keep. 14, we're going to map to Goldman Sachs.
Yes.
15, keep. 16, red flag. 17, red flag. 18, map to Fidelity Blue Chip. 19, keep. 20, map to Fidelity Large Cap. 21 and 22, keep. 23, red flag. 24, keep.
That's right. I think there was a few gray flags in there, Indy.
Yeah, what do we have for 13?
I had a gray flag.
Yeah, 13 does keep gray flag.
Yeah, so that's right. 13 had a gray
flag. We'll have a box for gray flags. Okay. I think Christina wrote it down.
And any
flags we missed?
MFS International, the second one, we're removing the gray flag, right?
Yes. So number 2 is just the keep. That was
Okay.
And 13 was the gray flag.
Yes. Keep and gray flag.
And 12, keep.
12 was the keep. So that removes the flag. So we'll add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 red flags in the next meeting.
And 4 is remove red flag too. Yeah.
Sorry?
Number 4, remove red flag.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Now, Janice Henderson's red flag in both plans, a little less. Okay, thanks, everybody. Good turn back over
I'll make a motion to make the changes as read.
Everyone's good. That, Christina, you're good with that?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All for the vote.
Roll call, Director Wygant?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Jung?
Aye.
Jason Dadakis?
Yes.
Kevin O'Toole?
Yes.
Okay, those motions carried. 5 yes votes.
Great. Thank you all online for your patience and for that. I'll make the recommendation. This goes on the consent calendar. Agendized for the May 6th meeting. Any announcements or reports? Seeing none, I'll adjourn the meeting.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Good job, Scott.